You just got F'd in the A.
What?
Yeah, you got served.
Yeah.
Right.
No, no, no.
Okay. All right. We got served. So now, I guess, it's on.
A monster in the game seems to be dying to play.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him!
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to do the game and die to play.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
Okay, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode number 40. I am C4.
I'm Kobar.
Wolf is kind of here. He's imagine this, he's playing Final Fantasy.
No.
I know, isn't that something? It never happens.
No,
it's like it's like a full moon on light day and shit.
Whoa,
it never happens. It is, he says. Anyway, now, no, we are not talking about Final Fantasy, but we do have an important topic that we're going to have to pull some examples that we just happened to involve with Final Fantasy about playing for fun versus playing to win. This is the best way that I can word it. I'm sure there's a better way. Like playing for effectiveness versus screwing around or having fun versus playing for stats. And this can apply to any game because I know that, you know, you can play a game like, even like, say, Contra. And you see guys that are just running around, and they're just blowing shit up, and they're having a good time. But then you see guys that are like, I know exactly what weapon I need 6 levels ahead of time, so I'm saving my weapons, I'm saving my bombs, because I know I'm going to need to blow up this enemy here, I've memorized the patterns,
I jump here.
You know, it's like, okay, now, that happens when you're playing. You know what I mean? Like, you play Mario Bros. Enough, you know it. You have the first level memorized, okay?
Right.
But there's people that know exactly what block to jump. Like, did you ever watch that video of that guy who did that shit in, like, 11 minutes or something?
No.
It's just nuts. Anyway. Or, like, it's like an hour and he went through every single level in Super Mario Bros. 3 or something. It's just insane. But something like that, I don't see that being as much fun anymore. It'd be cool to show your friends.
Look what I can
do. You know,
do.
Yeah. You got an hour, you know, or 11 minutes, whatever it was. You know, but that's a bad example because that is kind of fun, but, like, it's the guy who gets obsessed over 10 points.
Right.
Like, I used to be that way. And this is the reason we wanted to bring this up is because it's been a topic lately about playing, like, ultra uber effective in, well, like I, you know, we said, it happens to be Final Fantasy, okay? But this applies to any game, and it was a very important topic that I thought we should at least talk about a little bit because I used to be that guy that would play for stats. You know what I mean? And I got sucked into it. I didn't care how fun any game was. Every game became the same to me. It became about the numbers. When I played Mario Kart, it was all about shaving that 1 millisecond off my score. It wasn't about blowing your friends up and having a good time. It wasn't about that. It was just about beating
my... What curve
my
do I need to be on,
you know,
this turn?
Exactly. And, you know, it just became not as much fun anymore. Well, it was still fun at the time because that's kind of what we... You know, my mindset was focused on beating, you know, myself, basically, and being the absolute best at whatever, but it wasn't half as much fun as when later on I finally convinced myself that I wasn't having as much fun, because I knew I wasn't. Something was wrong. Something had changed. And it was when that happened, when we started keeping track of exactly how many matches of Street Fighter Wolf and I would play. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just, you know, and exactly how much damage each move would do. So we knew that a light punch would do 7% of your hit points. You know, so you can judge it based off of the size of the hit point bar. That's all you needed. And it just, I mean, okay, some of that, again, this is a fine line because that's just plain skill, knowing that, you know, you only need to hit him with a light punch to kill him, so you're not going to waste something burly on him.
It's going to take time.
Exactly. You're not going to use a fierce punch that's going to be slow.
But
there is a point where it comes to, like, obsession with the numbers and the stats and stuff, and this used to happen with...
That's why Final Fantasy is a good example, because there's so much of that we can show.
Yeah, we can. Right now we can pull a lot from that, because that's currently where we're at. You know, I like playing the guys that I'm playing. You know, I love running around as, like, this thief guy, but I'm told, well, I should run around as a different guy, because it's more effective. And that doesn't make any sense to me now, but back in the day, I would have said, oh, Jesus Christ, you're clearly right. The numbers are right in front of me. I could do both jobs, you know?
Right.
And but it wouldn't be as much fun. Sure, it would be cool to see. Oh, my God, I can do all this stuff, and I can be a dickhead and piss other people off, you know, and rub it in. But that's not as much fun as playing a class and jobs and whatnot that I think is fun. It's like a lot of people can't stand playing Mario and Super Mario Brothers. They always want to be player two, you know? Never fun for them to be Mario. It's like this, you know, I mean, it's the same game. Who cares? But it's not the same. I like playing Mario, so I don't have that job.
But I never really had too much of a distinction between the two.
I liked playing Mario. Everybody wanted to play Luigi. I don't know why. Maybe just because it was different or whatever. But what were we talking about just a second ago? Oh, the macros. Okay, now this is a perfect example of what I think takes a lot of the fun out of it for those of us that are just trying to have a good time and still maintain being effective. It's not like you run around with first level gear, you know, and whatever.
The stuff you're spawned with.
Yeah, you know, you don't play any role-playing game. You know, you don't play a game by yourself. No, a single-player role-playing game, make it to the end of the game wearing the first level gear. That doesn't happen. You have to upgrade, you know, and get other stuff. But people, like, I mean, I hate to bring us back to Final Fantasy, but the example I can give is this, and you can apply this to whatever game however you want to. You can set up a macro to do, you know, like a special move, okay, when you're playing Final Fantasy. And some people have worked out the formulas for the damage. They know exactly what stats affect how much damage and exactly what you need to do to be absolute the most effective. So I find that people have, like, these macros that will switch their gear based on what they're about to do. And it's instantly. I mean, this is boom. All of a sudden, you're using different gear. So now, in the example of the thief, they found out that dexterity adjusts his damage for his sneak attack move, and the agility is a little bit of damage towards his trick attack move, right? Now, what they do is they use accuracy gear. Okay, they have like a belt that gives them accuracy and a necklace and rings, all this stuff to make them get more hits in, because per hit, you build up your TP meter, right?
Right.
So you can unload a special move. So when you get that to 100, they have a macro that switches all their gear to plus dexterity and plus agility and lays down this hit and switches it back, all their gear. So that, you know, they're hitting more often again, instantly. And this, to me, becomes what's not quite as much fun anymore, because now you're like, well, now I gotta find a better ring so I can do one more point of damage here, totally adjust the macro to do this. And then they got, you know, I'm sure, I mean, I've seen it, tables and charts, exactly how much this stuff does. It just, I don't know if this... how this becomes such an issue.
Now, I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
Go right ahead.
Someone has
perfect. To. Exactly.
Now, when you're in a party and you're just tearing through shit, that is the most fun this game has to offer. It's at the very least, as far as the bulk of the game goes when you're fighting.
Yeah.
That is the bulk of the game.
Okay.
And it is no fighting and getting 100 XP here, this thing... getting 200, woohoo, and then resting.
Yeah.
That's not exactly a whole lot of fun. What's fun is 200, 230, 260.
Just plowing through it.
Plowing through it. And you have to have the equipment. You have to be geared as most effectively as you possibly can in order to do that.
You do, but you don't have to. You should be using one set of gear. Like, you should build your guy. Okay, if you were playing Dungeons and Dragons, I want to see you pull that shit off on the DM, right? There's no fucking way that he's going to allow that to happen. Okay, before I backstab this guy, I change every piece of equipment on me, and I swing. Yeah, I'm already standing behind him and ready to swing, but really quick, I just changed all my gear, right?
I'd have to agree that it'd be kind of funny to see a thief, like, changing socks right before he's about
this
to backstab.
This is what happens, though. I mean, they can change every single piece of equipment except for their weapons to pull this off, and they do. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, boom, they're wearing completely different gear, geared for this one hit, and boom, they're back to their ultra accuracy. And to me, that it just seems ridiculous. I mean, I see, oh yeah, it's hella more effective, but you had to pay twice as much for equipment, and how much fun is it when you got to sit there and figure out all that stuff, put all these crazy macros in it just so you can do a little bit more damage? And then maybe it won't work. You got party members bitching at you because you're disappearing in the middle of combat, you know. And then God forbid, you get some lag. You ever have that happen when you're doing something and it doesn't do the whole macro?
Mm-hmm.
You might be screwed wearing half your gear. I mean, it's just, I don't see why people want to play like this. This is, now to bring this into something else other than Final Fantasy, this is the guy that you don't ever want to play. This is Ode and Dark, the guys that you do not want to play against in, like, any RTS. These fucking guys play Warcraft 3, and I'm a pretty good strategy player. You know what I mean? I'm pretty damn good at these games. Yet I go up against these guys, and because they have memorized the stats of every single unit in the game, I cannot win. I have no fun playing against somebody like that. You know, I love hopping on Battle.net, and my favorite thing is the free-for-all. Because you know who's going to be dominating right away. It's the guys that are like that, the power players, you know, not the guys that are just kind of dicking around. And right. You can tell us, because we've got shit in our town built all over the place, and there's no real structure to it. I mean, you know, there is. Ideally, you have some towers up front and some walls or whatever you can do. And, you know, but you see the guys that use the same strategy they read off the internet somewhere that is flawless. All the time. I run into it in Battle.net constantly. You play against some guys and their town layout is just so every single time. How much fun can that possibly be when you're just stomping everybody you're playing and you know you're going to win? Because no matter what they bring against you, you know what to do. Because you know that, well, they have a third level upgrade, so their armor class, you know, on their main unit I see them pulling out is a 45 here. So I know that, well, I'll change my whole strategy to take, you know, which isn't even their strategy. This is however they started the game and saw what everybody else was doing, you know, and then pulled a page from some website somewhere that said, okay, if you see your enemy building necromancers, you're going to want to take in this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like not complete crap to me, because it's not their idea, for one. And for two, it's set.
Predetermined.
You know, it is. You might as well not even play. You know, it sucks to try to play a game when the people aren't there just to have a good time. They're there just to dominate you and laugh at you. You know, and it's not even that. They don't even make fun of you most of the time. They just play, and they're having a good time. They're quiet. It's not even about that. It's just that, like, you're playing against somebody you cannot win against because they have every single little thing memorized, every single little detail. They know exactly where all the monsters are to get all the gold and all the treasure chests and all that shit before you can get there. They know how many seconds it takes to get a guy there. This is what I don't like. This drives me nuts. So I, you know, at one point, I used to be like that. I was obsessed with stuff like it was weird. I mean, it was creepy because it didn't matter what I was playing. What mattered was figuring out, like, the system the game used and exploiting that to make sure I won. And at some point, you know, years and years ago, I realized I was not having as much fun as I used to have when I was playing for fun. So I said, you know, I'm just going to play. At some point, I remember, you know, it was like, it was kind of hard. It's like, you got to not be obsessed with this stuff and just have a good time. And Mario Kart was a bit, because that used to be about racing to me. I don't care. Leave my friends in the dust. I'm going to win this race. And I'm going to set a damn record while I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah, Mario Kart's not exactly...
Well, any racing game. You know what I mean? Any fighting game. Right. I can, you know, I'll beat you perfect in 1 second less than I did last time. It became, you know, that's what my drive was. Not to sit around with your friends and have fun anymore.
Right. I agree with you. But at the same time, there's a lot of people out there where that is what's fun. It's fun to be the best that they can be. To be the ultimate player. To be uber.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on, you know, everybody's point of view of fun.
But
maybe it's fun for them.
Oh, no. I was that guy, and it is fun. But I have played both sides now, and I know that playing for fun is a lot more fun than playing to win. That's the thing. That's why I wanted to really bring this up, because I have played both sides of this field. I have been on both sides. I mean, I was downright insane with it.
You see, I agree with you, because then you're playing a game and...
It's a game!
You're playing...
In the word!
If you're playing a game and, like the RTS idea, where, you know exactly what you're going to do for every move, you're no longer thinking about it, you're no longer... It's like motions.
You don't. They have a build order. Right? They do. They have a build order. They pull their first guy out, he builds this thing, you got a second guy. The minute he comes out, he builds that thing. As soon as this guy's done, and they have it all ahead of time. You know, so it's not like you don't ever sit there and think, well, wow, what am I going to do? You're like, well, I read this is the best way to do it. So I'm doing it this way every single fucking time.
See, to me, you might as well be collating papers.
Yeah.
Because you're doing one thing and then the next and then the next.
Exactly. How does that get so fun to people? Just winning is cool. You know what I mean? Like, I can see how winning is fun and being on the top of the ladder is fun, but did you have a good time getting there? Probably not. Probably
if,
not.
If you did, the more power to you.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. See, now this is the tricky part. It is fun. When you're wrapped up in it, it's a blast. When you're just that deep into not caring about, like, the game itself, but when you're just caring about the absolute best way to destroy everything, that's a different story, though. I mean, there's a point where you have to balance, like, your obsession with doing things the right way. Like, every game does have a right way to go about it.
Right.
It just so happens that, like, say, a strategy game has, like, maybe 8 different ways to go about it. I mean, it's more than that. But, like, Mario Brothers, there is a set path you could take through that game where you never get hit because all the monsters are from the same place. And there's people that become obsessed with this idea. I could not imagine sitting around playing that for, like, 15 hours a day trying to figure that out. And this is, like, what happens, you know. And I know because I've been there. I've been there. We used to play Barren Realms Elite. I would, every single day before school, write down every single country's stats. You know, I didn't have a printer. I didn't need one. I wrote it down. And, you know, 25 players or whatever. This is before you could do the intra-BBS stuff. And so I would write down the 25 players, everything. And you know, I would get on first thing in the morning before school, send out all my spies, and get reports on everybody. Mm-hmm. And I would write down every little thing about their country. I would go to school with this pile of papers every day and analyze whose ass I could probably kick when I got home.
I mean, I killed him when he was on vacation.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you're going good, you're okay. I was on vacation for a week. This fuckhead over here totally just raped, because nobody else knew I was gone. So he just walked in, took everything I had, killed me. I come back from vacation and I'm dead because he's a lying bastard. But not much has ever changed, so. I had everybody's stats, and I could tell exactly what I was going to do that day when I got home. And it was like 8 hours at school sitting there trying to figure out who I could kill. You know, or who I could just totally fucking obliterate.
Mm-hmm.
And while that was fun, it became more fun later on where I was just like amassing huge armies and taking chances. Maybe I can't beat this guy because I didn't fully fingerprint this guy. You know what I mean? And that was a lot more fun than knowing ahead of time that I can destroy him.
Because now you have a little risk. Now you have that pit in your stomach.
You know? Yeah. It's like any game where you go up against a creature you haven't fought before. You wonder, my God, is this thing just going to totally smash me? Oh, hold on. I have the internet. And you go to the internet and you look it up. Oh, I'm going to kick this thing's ass. You know? And I see a lot of that. Like at GameFAQs, that website, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Shit like that destroys a lot of games, I think. You get stuck in any game. I don't care what it is. You get stuck one time. I see people all the time. Oh, hold on. Okay. You go down the hallway on your left. You click a little thing you can't see. It's flashing in the corner. You open the fucking door. Watch out, because above you, a creature's going to drop down. You shoot him 3 times in the head with your fucking, you know, dart gun. It'll kill him. You turn around because there's going to be a guy behind you. Leg sweep him so you trip him and then break his neck. You know what I mean? It's just like, ugh, what happened? Most, I see it too much. Even I break down real easy these days because it's like, oh, I died 3 times here. Oh, God forbid, you know.
3 whole times.
I had to do the same part and I could probably save 10 seconds before that. But I just don't want to do it again. Oh, yeah, fuck, this is ridiculous.
It's like that Nightshade review I was reading the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was, the reviewer was complaining because you had to go like 5 minutes without a checkpoint.
5 whole minutes.
Oh, no.
That's ridiculous, you know. That is just ridiculous. Why can't we just sit down and have a good time? You know, I keep coming back to Mario Kart because that was like the changing point. I remember where it was just like, you know what? Fuck trying to keep track of stats because the game cheats. You know, Mario Kart has like a handicap,
mm-hmm.
and it would force you to go slow if you're kicking everybody's butt. It sucked.
Really?
Yeah. Like Outrun, or no. What's that game? The race car one where you go across the world? Cruising USA has the same thing. The guy behind goes hella fast, and the guy in front slows down no matter what. Like, your top speed is reduced. And the guy behind gets hella bonuses to his speed.
I've never noticed that.
And the whole thing with Mario Kart is they encourage the combat.
Oh.
But I could not beat it. I could not force it to let me win. Because no matter if I was winning, I was being penalized for it. Because I'm going slower. So then, of course, I think to myself, oh, I need to play this 2 players at the same time, and I'll just keep either even with ourselves, or I'll keep one guy just ahead and use it to slingshot my other guy in front of him, and eventually I'm going to come out ahead. I mean, this is how crazy it gets because you don't care. You're just like, I just got to get there faster and win better. You know, it's just...
I'm just trying to picture you sitting there with 2 controllers.
I used to do it with GoldenEye. You could play with 2 controls. It was so tight. It was the best. But stuff like that, it just became not fun. Once I finally had to give in, because all my friends wanted to play Mario Kart. And finally it was just like, well, you know, let's just screw around. And it's like, wow, this is more fun because I'm playing against my buddies, we're laughing, we're having a good time, I'm not always winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just great. And then I think that, like, broke me of those habits where it was just all about the numbers. All about caring about the numbers. That was my point. My little rant. I was pretty upset about all that. So anyway. Anything anybody wants to say about that? This wasn't supposed to be me bitching. It was just supposed to be, you know, an interesting topic.
You're bitching.
I'm not bitching. I'm just trying to bring up an interesting topic that I think happens a lot. Like,
yeah.
You know, especially some crap like Final Fantasy Online where you have people that are just so obsessed with, you know, these crazy stats. Which is fun. It is fun. But I really think that people are not having as much fun as they should. Playing for fun.
Right.
Instead of playing for stats, you know. That's all it, right. Huh?
I think so.
Fun. I got a 4-page email from Cushion. This is a lot of reading. But it's going to tie directly. Let me make sure he talked about it last. I actually didn't get far down to the... Let's see. Yeah, actually he did. Cool. All right. Let's see. He sent this out before. I didn't get it. Which is weird because I got email before... somebody else sent me an email that wound up in the garbage somehow. Like, automatically. Like, it just came in there and wound up in there. So I don't know if I'm missing
maybe
that.
Maybe it had
email
the keywords penis enlargement.
What is that stuff you can buy with the pill? What's that
There's
called?
A whole bunch of them.
What's the little pill your grandfather takes?
Viagra?
Viagra, yeah. That's another big word I always see in my damn emails, you know. Get Viagra here cheap. Oh, my God. But no, I don't have any of that crap. This is simply mail rules where it says if the email is this address, it goes into this folder. So basically, everything that comes to a known email address gets filtered in, and all the rest of the stuff doesn't get filtered in at all. So I know that whole thing is crap. And somehow I got an email in it. It was a real one addressed to me. I couldn't figure that out, so I don't know how much of that's going there. Really weird. So now I got
now you got a schlog through it anyway.
Yeah, and you saw that. That was like, I checked it this morning, right? And tonight there's 98 there, or 97. Oh my God. But if anybody needs to become a millionaire, breast or penis enlargement, I'm your man. Give me a call, I can hook you up with somebody. Because God knows, according to my spam, I have the connection.
Oh my God.
So, on with the email.
Okay.
I didn't think that was funny at all.
Yeah, funny anymore. It's getting old.
All right. Well, now, he talked about some pretty cool games in here. And the first one he talks about is Max Payne 2. Did anybody play this?
No.
Amazingly enough, I didn't play this one or the first one. I just didn't care. And I heard some good things about it, but I kept hearing they're too short. So I was like, well, I don't want to get into a game and play for 4 hours. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So I never gave it a shot. Whatever. I'm sure I probably should. But there's a lot of games I should play. So we'll let somebody else talk about it who actually played. This game just came out for the I don't know when he sent this email. It just came out for the consoles and the PC. And you're seeing tons when you go looking for games. In fact, at my nearby Best Buy, one half of an Xbox end cap is overflowing with this game. You're also seeing it on sale for about $25 to $30, and I think I know why. It's the same game as Part 1. Okay, so the story's a little different. In this one, Max keeps flipping out and may or may not have killed the chief of police. I couldn't tell if he did or if he was tripping. Now, Max is on the run from from both the cops and the new gaming town. Also, a hit woman is on your side. Well, that's pretty cool. And other people meet you along the way to help you out. A while back, I picked up Max Payne 1 on Greatest Hits, so I was familiar with the controls. Well, Part 2 has all the same controls, except Max can now use secondary weapon, like a grenade or a Molotov cocktail, and some of the weapons are new. Other than that, same old, same old. The story is still told in comic book panels, and Max is narrating voiceover. The good thing is, this time Max doesn't have something deep to say about everything. Don't get me wrong, this game looks and sounds great, and the controls are still as easy to pick up as ever. It just has that more of the same feeling that a game like Tomb Raider or Mega Man gives off when a sequel comes out. Bottom line is, if you love the first one, the second is a must to own. If you picked up Part 1 on Greatest Hits, you may want to wait on this one too. Overall, a 7 out of 10. Now, I remember when that came out, we talked about it quite a bit. I heard a lot of really good things about it. But continually I heard, oh, I beat it in 4 hours. So I never wanted to shell out the $50 for it.
Yeah, 4 hours. I'm used to playing RPGs that last like 40 hours.
At least.
Yeah.
At least. You know, if I can't sit down and basically lose a whole month worth of real life to a game, it just almost doesn't seem worth it anymore. But then, I had a hard time balancing my time, too, for a while. Because, like, even putting 20 hours into a game was kind of rough for a while there. You get too many obligations or whatever. You know, shit happens in the real world, and you just can't deal with it. So, I mean, there's a place for some shorter games, too. And if it packs a good story, like I hear this does, it's probably worth it. And now at $25?
Yeah, but I say for 5 hours with the gameplay, the price should reflect that.
Yeah, definitely. Not the production cost, but the playtime cost should reflect, you know, the price of the game. But I did, you know, I mean, I heard so many great things about this game, though. I've never played it, so I can't, you know.
Well, how much can a 5 hour game cost to develop?
Well, if it's that good, I mean, if they put that much into it. I mean, how much do you... Like Final Fantasy, though, when they're making, you know, the new one, 12 or 13 or 27 or whatever. I bet, like, even 5 hours of just that probably costs them an ass load of money because of all the... I mean, we talked about this before. Didn't you bring up all the models and all the shit that they have to do to get that?
Yeah, how much more intensive, manpower intensive it is now.
Right. So, I mean, 5 hours probably goes pretty far. I mean, 5 hours worth of pay now is like 100 years worth of pay in the Nintendo days.
Yeah, but
know?
that Final Fantasy 12 is going to be... $50 or $40.
Yeah, but it's,
so why should a 5 hour game be the same price as a 40 hour game?
That's very true. It shouldn't be, but well, maybe Final Fantasy should be more. I remember paying through the nose for what the hell was that game on the Genesis? Fantasy Star 3. It wasn't $50. It was like $70.
Sure,
but you could play it. I mean, forever, for days. For the longest time I played that game, I thought it was fantastic. But every penny was worth it to me. You know, because it was just beautiful. So, I mean, if the game is good enough, I think there's no cost too high. I guess, you know, really. When it comes down to, I mean, how many times have you bought some game, and you're like, I don't want to go out and shell out $50. And then you do, and you're so happy because you got it. Wolfenstein, Return to Castle Wolfenstein, $60 when that came out. I was kind of pissed it was $60. But you know what? I didn't do anything for a week but play that game. And I loved every minute of it, you know?
Like that mech game. I always forget the name of it.
The one
that comes
with
a controller.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I know what it's called, too. Mech Assault? No. What's that game? Steel Battalion.
Steel Battalion.
Yeah.
For someone who's a mech fan,
that's worth
like,
every penny, yeah.
King, shit, a fuck mountain.
Yeah.
They're in a cockpit.
How cool is that?
But it was like $120.
I thought it was $200.
Oh, it might have been.
Yeah, I think it was $200. I thought. Maybe it was $150. Whatever. It was still a shitload of money.
It was a lot for a game and a controller that was all you were ever going to use is for that game.
They released another one, though, I think. Another game for it. Like Steel Battalion 2 or something. Or like
that was like $50.
Yeah, it's just the game. Controller. Yeah. But, I mean, that's two games.
Yeah.
I would want them. Crazy shit. You know, I mean, they better have all kinds of flight simulators, and they better have all kinds of other mech games and space, you know, UFO flying things or something.
If you're all about...
Yeah, for those guys, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? Totally. Let's see. Cushion goes on to talk about 007 Everything or Nothing. They couldn't have picked a better name for this game. With the big names, big bucks, and big hype EA gave this game, it would either be the greatest movie crossover game in years or just another licensed flop. Well, this game isn't a total flop, see the Enter the Matrix game, but then it's not the greatest either. The story is your basic current-day Bond plot. Bond is out to check on a missing agent and save two Bond girls. God, I never heard that story before. One being the love interest, God, imagine that, of the villain who's bent on world domination. Along the way, you get all sorts of gadgets and vehicles to try and help you out. I'll get to the gadgets later. Now about the game itself. The best way to describe the game is as an arcade version of Metal Gear Solid. You can sneak around and snipe guards around corners, or you can sneak up behind guards and take them out. But with the lack of a radar, don't be surprised if a guard runs up to you from a blind spot and opens fire. That's one reason why most players will probably be better off running in a room guns a-blazing.
So now,
we get trained that pretty well, too.
Hold on, arcade version, is that code for easier?
I think it's maybe more action-packed, like more faster.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. But don't get too cocky. Cool, because he says you can run into a room, you know, blazing, which is what most people are used to. Thank you, Doom. But don't get too cocky. Just when you think you've cleared a room or an entire area, more guards magically appear to take you out. And watch them, because health packs are hard to come by, and checkpoints are almost non-existent. At least the controls are pretty easy to get used to, except for cycling through your guns and the Bond sense. Pressing left on the directional pad starts Bond sense, where the screen goes into bullet. Oh my god. Bullet time.
No, not bullet time.
Yeah. Oh my god.
A game that with bullet time.
Since the Matrix, huh?
Hmm.
Let's see. And you can choose which gun to equip, and it shows you your shows you objects that can be shot or used. Unfortunately, the gun doesn't pause during this mode, so expect to get capped if you take too long. Well, that's kind of neat, though. I mean, at least it kind of... I don't know. Getting tired of bullet time. I'm getting real tired of bullet time. But at least it sounds like it kind of gives you a point, you know? Like, you can... Let's see. You can choose which gun... You can switch guns and stuff, you know? It shows you things that can be shot or used. I mean, that's kind of neat. At least it kind of separates things out. Because some of these games, there's so much shit you think you can do, and then, like, you get so tired of, like, knocking over cups and glasses and opening... How many crates can you bash open in a game, you know, before you just give up on it anymore? At least this one, I mean, it sounds like it'll point out the ones that you can do something to, which is pretty cool. On to the gadgets. Most are used at a specific point, but throughout the game you get a grappling hook. But honestly, the targeting and firing for the hook is pretty clunky, and the only time you'll use it is to get a snipe spot or find hidden stuff. Gadgets are also used in the vehicles. The vehicles in this game are a mix between the stuff found in Grand Theft Auto and Spy Hunter. Each vehicle also has a gadget. What gadget? It depends. For example, one level has you going into a Mexican town to find someone. They drive through this place? You can't shoot the police and can't stop at the location until you ditch the cops. I hit the gadget button out of curiosity after trying to ditch the cops at a four block town for 20 minutes, and the car turns invisible. Couldn't the controls mark the gadget as invisibility or could the game give you a hint? Wow. The graphics and sound are what you would expect from an arcade 007 game. Nothing groundbreaking, but everything looks smooth enough for what it is. As far as the big stars go, most of the people look like the actual stars, if not a little CGI looking. You know, like how the sports stars look like themselves in sports games except without the deep detail. Also, all the major stars from the Bond series, Bond, M, Q, supply their own voices, so that adds to the presentation of the package. That's pretty cool. Speaking of presentation, the game really shows off in this department. There's an intro movie just like in the 007 movies, and Shannon Elizabeth is all over the main menu pause screen looking hot. While this adds nothing to the actual game, I thought it was a nice touch, where most licensed games cut corners on this stuff and just add a couple cutscenes with the stars. Overall, this is a pretty solid kind of arcade-style game that makes the most of its license. Let's see. Also, this game has a lot of replay value with challenges to beat and unlock stuff and multiplayer mode with many different themes, co-op, deathmatch, etc. Is it the next N64 GoldenEye? Now, this is what every single Bond game here has ever been judged against. Have you ever played this?
Yeah, GoldenEye?
Oh, my God.
First-person shooter.
Hands down, one of the best games I've ever played. I cannot remember a game that at the time that I put more time into for years around that game. So much time focused on playing.
You said
at the time. Dude, for years around that time, there was nothing I played more than friggin' GoldenEye.
And it was Final Fantasy VI?
Super Nintendo, an old Super Nintendo game, around the time I was in Rockland playing Nintendo 64 games? Hell no. It was all about GoldenEye, Mario Kombat 64, Killer Instinct. Killer Instinct. Mario Kart 64, and the hell else did we play? GoldenEye. And Mario Brothers. Mario 64, yeah. That's what we played. But we always came back to GoldenEye. It was just that much fun. Anyway, no, it's not. But if you're looking for a good-looking, above-average third-person shooter, go for it. Also, if you're a Bond fan, go for it, because it looks and plays just like a Bond movie. I myself would wait for it to hit $20 or $30 before I got it. It's nice, but with cheap enemies and lack of health packs and checkpoints, it's not a must-buy. Overall, I'd give it 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 if you count presentation. It sounds like it's really good, though. I tried to play Nightfire, and I just couldn't get into it. It just didn't seem like it had it.
I didn't hear a whole lot of stuff about that.
Hook's like a lot of weird stuff.
Huh.
It's because he never played GoldenEye. You know what I mean? Like, right. He never played what we're basically judging it against. I'm sorry, but...
The poor 007 series, they have to live up to that. And
it is rough, but
it's like
not...
Zelda and Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
They're going to be screwed for the rest of time.
Because
Ocarina of Time was a great game.
I know. But unfortunately, and that's just the way it is. You're going to make something fat, you better put out something fatter next time. I mean, what I don't understand is...
Or at least just as good.
At least just as good. How do you screw it up is what I don't understand. How do you screw it up? You know what worked because you did it. and then they blow it the next five games.
Well, they have to at least give them credit for changing it, because I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, it would get games, awfully.
You get games that they just do the same thing, the formula, because it's what works.
Yeah.
And then it gets to be the same old thing.
Exactly.
And that doesn't work either.
That does not work for very well. It makes sales, but it doesn't work for the rest of the crowd, though, because we you come a point where I've played this before.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, different storyline. It looks a little different, but it's the same damn game.
Same game. You know, yeah. It just. They can't win, I guess. No matter what we're going to do, we're going to complain and bitch. Now, here's one that I really, really was glad to hear about. Beautiful Joe. Because this one, I could not hear enough about it.
Mortal Next.
A lot of people like it.
I like it.
You like it. It? Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know what to say. It just doesn't, I don't know. I kept reading about it and looking and watching movies, and it just doesn't seem like something that I could just sit down and play, though. Not these days. Maybe back in the day, for some reason, I could have played it, but now I just can't get used to it. Didn't seem like something I'd like to play, but I hear good things. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I have no idea.
That game kind of remind me, just by looking at it, kind of remind me of Mega Man X.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah,
it totally reminds me of that.
I suppose a little bit.
The graphic-wise, anyway. Maybe the guy. It's mainly the character. Anyway, let's see. Many retro gamers have complained about the PlayStation generation wiping out... Hey, this is all about me. Wiping out 2D side-scrollers and making them a Game Boy Advance-only format. Those same gamers have argued that, given the chance, the 2D market could shine again. That's right, baby.
That's right, Doggy.
That's where I think Beautiful Joe comes in. Capcom set out to make a 2.5D side-scroller to fire up the retro market again. By 2.5D, I mean it's a side-scroller, but with some 3D and camera movement.
They'd have to do that. You can't go back to just straight.
Yeah, there'd be no way.
No one would buy it.
No, even I think I would at some point just be like, okay, this is weak nowadays, you know. The story is about a guy named Joe who loves Japanese monster movies. One day at the movies, that's why this game is so popular. One day at the movies, the main villain reaches through the screen to steal Joe's girlfriend. Joe is taken into the movie by the movie's aging superhero to become a superhero himself and save her. If that didn't really make any sense, don't worry. Neither does most of the game. As for the game itself, it's really like an old 2D Mega Man game, but with karate moves. Also, Joe is in a movie. He can manipulate time, as if he's speeding up or slowing down the picture, to pinpoint enemies' weaknesses. While this is a very cool touch, it doesn't make up for the rest of the game. Like the enemies in the 007 game, Joe's enemies can be pretty cheap, and a lack of health packs, or not enough where you actually need them, really kill the fun. Also, as previously mentioned, the game has a real Japanese weird, just to be weird, feeling to it that makes you wonder what you've really gotten into.
All your face stuff get on to us.
The game itself looks like a 2D game with like a 3D cell shading effect going on. This really gives the feeling of the old Super Nintendo games with the huge sprites that everyone remembers fondly. Unfortunately, the controls feel a little awkwardly configured. You can choose to change the configuration to one of three styles, but they all feel a little off. Overall, if you really want to check out a good modern-day side-scroller, Beautiful Joe might be worth checking out. Just watch out for the cheap enemies, especially bosses, weird controls, and even weirder game layout. Personally, I think this game is actually a strike against the 2D comeback. With the 3D cel-shaded characters and time manipulation, and the cramped fighting space, this is just asking to be made into a 3D beat-em-up game or something like that. Overall, I'd give it a 6 out of 10. Not as great as everyone says, but the best Capcom could do for a weird 2D side-scroller.
Now, I'll agree with the cheapness, especially with the bosses.
Yeah?
I got stuck on this one boss because he just pulls some cheap moves that I cannot get around, and I just got fed up and put it down.
Yeah? Well...
But I really liked the idea. I had a lot of fun playing it. It's tough.
Well, that's good. We need harder games, because I'm tired of this. Like this guy that you were telling me that reviewed that Nightshade. Oh, my God. We got to play the same part over for 5 minutes. We're becoming weak.
You should check out this game. There's an adult mode and a kids mode. And I couldn't get past the first boss in adult mode.
Yeah?
I got my ass
See, that's handed. Burly. That's like Contra, Shadowed Soldier. I tell you what. Screw playing Beautiful Joe. Go get R-Type Final for your PlayStation 2. Eh, crap. This is for both of them. And, Contra.
Have you ever actually played R-Type Final?
Of course I have. I'm telling you,
it's still
fat.
In the plastic, isn't it?
It is. It is. But it's fat. Okay, I've seen it. I've watched video of it. It's fat. It's like I don't even play this crap because stupid Final Fantasy is taking up all my time. But the video was cool. I really enjoyed that. But, I don't know, it seemed way more enjoyable than this to me anyway. So, I mean, but if you're into that kind of thing, weird just to be weird especially.
I do.
Oh, yeah, you are like that. Yeah. No, you do. I don't get that at all. I don't get that
That's
at all.
That's why I like Big Fish.
Yeah, yeah. It's just weird, but why? Well, just because... Strange, crazy shit that you wouldn't expect.
I like watching the screen going, what the hell am I watching?
I like to be able to follow it, see? I don't know. Well, let's see. Oh, okay. Now, this is for the big one here. Because I have heard non-stop over and over and over and over. And we've even talked about it over and over and over. For the last, I think, two shows, we brought it up at some point. And here we go again. Ninja Gaiden. All right. Cushion here rented Ninja Gaiden. He said, I think Rybo on the gaming forum had a nice review, so I won't go on about it. I'll just say, yeah, he did. He put a whole bunch of stuff up there on the forum about Ninja Gaiden. I'll just say that as a big fan of Nintendo games, I was disappointed with how it turned out. It feels like Tecmo didn't know whether they were making a fighting game, a beat-em-up game, or a Tomb Raider game. All the enemies are tough, and the bosses are even harder. It's also said that Prince of Persia beats this game as far as Ninja Wall tricks go, and Prince of Persia isn't even known for those kind of moves.
I don't know. I like it. You know, it's more challenging.
Okay, now we all have played this now. Mm-hmm. And it may be challenging. But you know what the biggest challenge to me is? The controls and the camera. Again. I cannot... You know what, though? Now, I totally, totally understand why that right thumbstick is like basically something you don't even want to touch. Because,
bang.
You know, it is. In a game... Okay, the way I like to use that stick, and I think most people do, is for the camera control. Right. However, there's so much crazy shit going on, you would never have time to adjust the camera anyway. You never would.
Because you use the trigger.
You
right.
use the trigger to center it right behind you. Right. But it's like, you're not always facing the direction you want to see. You know? You're just not.
When you're not fighting, that camera angle is... That left thumbstick is annoying as hell. Because you want to look around.
You want to look around, yeah.
And you can't.
Okay, but when you're...
Well, you can, but...
Yeah, yeah, it's just... You have to stop what you're doing, kind of, though. It puts you into first-person view, right? Because the game you play, you know, from third-person view, you run around, you just slaughter a bunch of ninjas and whatnot. You even tap that right thumbstick, and zoom, you're in first-person view now, and you're not walking around like you think you should be looking at stuff. You're moving the camera around with that stick, and... You feel kind of like, I don't know, I felt like, oh my god, I gotta get out of this immediately. And I tried, and I would end up spinning the camera around because I would move my guy in circles and hit the right trigger to spin the camera behind me. But it made me really, like, not dizzy isn't the word, but disoriented. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't sure, and I saw you do it too.
Yeah.
I saw you spin completely around and not realize it and start walking down the hallway and then spin completely around again. And I was just like, oh my god, I can see this happen all too much to me. I do not, I mean, is it that hard to make a camera that knows where you're going? If you're facing that direction, I know they can analyze the size of the room you're in. So if you're in the far back ass left-hand corner, even facing the wall, why does it show you the wall right in front of you? Why doesn't it say, well, let's see as much space as possible?
What I don't understand is why cameras butt up against the wall and then stay there. So you end up looking down at your shoulders.
Yeah.
Okay, let the camera go through the wall, make the wall invisible, yeah. and see the room.
Exactly. You can see everything coming from you, and everybody would be happy. It's not that hard. You can do it in Doom with the clipping thing. You can kind of step in the wall. That's the kind of view, you know? You ever done that?
Yeah.
You can walk through the wall, and you can kind of see the room. Not quite exactly like that, but...
Yeah, we wouldn't want to see
the whole level. Yeah, that would obviously not be good.
But obviously, programming is at a stage now where they could pull out of the wall and just show the room.
And I know I've seen stuff like that. I mean, even Final Fantasy does a good job of when it does get up on something, you see through whatever it is that's right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's at the simplest. That works really well. Just being able to even see through your dumb ass. But in a game like that, there's so much going on that the camera really, really makes it impossible. No wonder it's so fucking hard.
Well,
you can't see anything.
No, I just thought of something.
What's that?
Well, you have more than one little room loaded, right?
Well, yeah.
And if you pull out of the wall, you're going to see the other rooms.
Well, But they could build an extra part to that, right? They could build a blacked off section just like a like around each room. You know what I'm saying? Like they could have the room and then a few game feet out of that, there's like a shell that is painted black on the inside, let's say.
Right.
And the camera could pull through the game, well, through your wall that you're seeing, the square room, and pull out into this round sphere where it's all black around it, you know, so that the camera could pull out, not show you anything.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's all kinds of ways.
Yeah, I'm sure. But how come nobody, every single game I play?
Laziness.
I guess. It's like they know people will deal with it, and it drives me nuts. And in a game like this, to me, it completely breaks the game. As cool as it was watching you do all those insane ninja fucking moves, and it was hard for me to do them.
Such a great job of making you feel like a badass straight out of the gate.
It does, but I think the best description was right there though, because the first thing I thought when I played it was, is this Streets of Rage? Right here. Are they making a fighting game, a beat-em-up game, or a Tomb Raider game, he says, okay? All that jumping around and climbing through the shit. Okay, that's pretty cool, but how often do you have to do that? And it seemed like you were walking around an awful lot, doing nothing, just walking around, jumping up stuff. And then you would come into a room with 750 ninjas, and it's about the size of, like, you know, your car. So I don't know where these guys all come from. And then you have these insane combo moves you've got to do, which are fairly simple compared to what we're used to from a fighting game. It's not like you're, you know, I mean, they weren't insane. It was more like A, forward, A,
right.
You know, and A, jump. Y, you know, yeah. I mean, they were fairly simple, but still, the amount that you can get was just over the top. It just comes to the point where you would really have to spend some time to memorize every single little move you could do, and then pray you knew which one worked best against the bosses, or whatever you were fighting at the time. Now, if you've got a good handle on just a few of them, though, you can tear some shit up, and it's really cool to watch. Because just watching you, and you knew a lot of the weird moves that I wasn't able to do, was really a sight to behold, but I really got that, well, here's another endless stream of enemies, let's hope they don't come, you know, kick my ass where I can't see them. And, you know, holy crap, there's somebody killing you from behind. I can't see it. Spin the camera around. Oh, you can't because you're facing the other way.
Right.
And just, it was like, I don't know if I can handle that. It seems like such a cool game. The graphics, beautiful.
Yeah, they were.
God, they were amazing. Sound wasn't all that bad. I didn't think it was great. It just seemed kind of like your average, you know, try to put you in that whole ninja mindset. Yeah. It just seemed like I'd heard it in every other game like that. So, I don't know. It just didn't seem like it just blew me away, like everybody says, how great it is. Sure, it's tough, but any game can be hard if you can't see. You know? Jesus.
Well, see, every once in a while, I just love to play a game where I have all these badass moves and I'm just tearing shit up.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really had a lot of fun playing the bits and pieces that I had playing.
But see, this is why I like playing something like Contra, because you can actually see where this shit's coming from.
Yeah, I can't handle Contra. I'm trying to... I can't, like, keep the whole screen in focus. So you got little projectiles coming this way, little projectiles coming this way.
That's why they're all the same color. You notice that? They're all that, like, that yellow that goes to red. So you only have... You can kind of, like, fade out everything except for those balls. And as long as you can maneuver around these balls of axe kick, you're okay. You ever notice that? They're all the same color?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, you have to like switch your view or something. You have to like black out the game. And like, you know, you just have to know that you're the center. And that center cannot touch one of those balls. It's weird. I don't know. Sometimes you get like in this weird zone. That happens to me a lot, so I won't even see the game. I'll just see these balls coming at me.
There's a bit like disappears.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's freaky. It's weird. But I don't know. I do not think Ninja Gaiden is as good as everybody made it out to be. It's pretty cool. The graphics are outstanding, but goddamn. What the hell are you trying to do here? He's got it perfect. Tomb Raider, a fighting game. It totally reminded me of just endless slaughter of guys, like that friggin' samurai game he was playing. At least I remember being able to see shit that was coming at me most of the time.
Samurai.
Was it that Onimusha or whatever it's called? Where you're just mowing through guys.
That game was awesome. Except for that game was like a 5-hour game too. I beat that in an afternoon.
But see, I wouldn't be able to handle even really? 5 hours in Ninja Gaiden. I couldn't handle it. It's the same fucking
thing. Did you discover all the secrets and stuff?
Oh no, I didn't do it. I didn't complete it. I wasn't doing the completion.
Just ran through it real quick.
But I beat the game.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't see how people put up with it. I mean, as fun as it sounds, and as cool as it is, I can't see a damn thing and I can't control it. If they would let you change the controls drastically, it would help it a lot. I don't know. Not as good. I didn't think it was as good as, but it is cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's really neat, and I wanted it to be fat, and when I saw it, I was like, oh man, this game better kick ass. But, and it does. But the simple fact the controls, I thought, were pretty bad. And it's like, every time I want to swing my sword, I would jump. I did that an awful lot for some reason. Because it's like, the button that should be swing is jump. For me. Right. And of course, there was no option. And this, whatever, I was playing the demo here, but, you know, Wolf has the real one. I don't know what you played.
I played the real one.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys went through the options, but I couldn't change controls with this, so. I don't know.
I don't know, I didn't try. But see, most console games, you can usually pick from a couple presets.
Which is lame, too. Just let us put them in.
Yeah.
You know? This is why I want, like, an Xbox emulator to run great, so I can, because you can set your controls, you know? They always let you do that. And I got the controller plugged in already. I'm good to go. Don't need no stinking TV and Xbox. Alright, what else did we play? We tried to play Far Cry. Whatever happened with that anyway?
The disc wouldn't even run.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And fucking computer gaming world or wherever I got that. Maximum PC. It ran here. It installed. The uninstallation took longer than it took to install that game. That blew my mind. But this was one of those games, too, that a lot of people, I think, were really hoping would be fat. This is, you know, but again, I don't see why. Here we are, you're in a jungle now, you're some dude wearing a Hawaiian t-shirt with guns blowing shit up on a tropical island. This differs from...
Same game with a new skin.
Exactly. This differs from Doom in the fact that you're not in hell, or you're not on a moon base, you're on a tropical island. Wow. Genius. I sure hope they didn't pay anybody too much for that idea.
There's only so much you can do with an FPS, though.
I know, but how come it's always the same guys that find the way to make it cooler? You know, these other guys aren't even trying. I know they're not.
Excuse me.
You know? Jesus, you're a little bitch. You hear that whining sneeze? God. I just don't see why that they can't make him any better.
Well,
like, everybody can't make him any better. They just rip off the idea.
Throw a fast ticket to a payday.
But it can't be working out. It can't be working out because nobody likes them. I really don't think so. Do you think that many people buy a game that gets bad reviews, or that they played a demo for and hated, or they've played 95 other times? You know what I mean? I just don't see. Does it really pay off?
If you don't put it up, if you don't put a whole lot of effort in it, you use somebody else's engine.
I guess so. That's pretty costly, though. The engine itself is pretty costly. But I mean...
Yeah, not near as much as if you make your own.
Well, yeah. I guess you're right, though. I mean, if they put bare minimum money in it, I guess they're almost bound to turn a profit. I guess
it's like they do in the movie industry, which I mentioned 2 shows ago, I think.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's pretty sad, though.
Oh.
I see piles of these kinds of games. And it might as well be a mod. Hell, they all might as well be a mod for, like, Quake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or Half-Life, or whatever you like so much that, you know, that's your FPS, whatever. They might as well just be a mod for it, you know? And we see crap like, not crap, we see stuff like Doom that pushes it, you know, that all of a sudden, looking at Doom 3 looks just mind-blowing. And everything I've heard, you know, I haven't played it, but basically everything I've heard is a lot of the stuff I've wanted changed for a long time. Some of these games. And I love the whole setting of Doom, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't like Quake. I never really got along with it.
That game's gonna kick my rig's ass.
I remember I just run Quake 3 Arena for the benchmarks. Whenever you got a new video.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Quake 3 is great for benchmarks. But it's hella fun. You know, like,
you improve a 20 frames per
second. It's a hell of a lot of fun to play, though. I mean, when you want just mowing people down, I swear to God, nothing does it better than Quake 3. I mean, they have assembled the perfect game where it comes down to deathmatch. It's like, you want to play a deathmatch? Well, here's Quake 3. This is all there is to it. Because this is going to be as fast as it gets, and it's got all the guns you want. It's got the one-shot kill sniper type gun. It's got the rocket launcher if you like blowing shit up. It's got grenades, pistols. It's got all these crazy guns, and it's as fast-paced as it can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as cool as Unreal is, I mean, it's fun, but it seems like when you're really itching to just mow some stuff. You know what I like it? I like it when I'm drunk. Try playing Quake 3 when you're wasted. It is way better than anything else for some reason, because it's just that fast. You know, it's like there's that much stimuli coming at you,
mm-hmm.
that you're just locked into it. And a lot of games aren't like that. You know, you try to play something like Counter-Strike, and it's slow. you know, whatever you're playing that's like that. You know, you got to creep up on them, you got to sneak around. That doesn't fly because you're wasted. You know, you're just like, I can't fucking sit here. I need to blow shit up. And you can't just go charge into a room on that kind of a game because you get killed in one hit.
Right.
You know, but in Doom or Quake, whatever, you know you can get shot quite a few times. You just need a few lucky hits and you can find some health somewhere. It's fucking great. I love that kind of stuff. Which is why I pray the Doom 3 multiplayer is cool. It's supposed to be like based mainly on single player. And the multiplayer is like an afterthought. And I don't blame them. They did like the fat multiplayer deathmatch type game. Quake 3, there it is. You know? I'm really wanting Doom 3 for the single player, really. You know?
Yeah, but it's really weird. I mean, deathmatch is like a huge part of the FPS market.
Oh,
huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ever since
Quake.
Yeah.
Because Doom, they had it. You could play like four people on a LAN. You can play Doom, and it didn't happen a whole lot, it seemed like, for me. You know, I mean, at the time, we tried to play when we could. You could do it over modem, but it's still friggin' laggy.
That's what did it with GoldenEye for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I can't think of a console FPS that did it like that.
Halo was good.
Well,
it was way back then. Yeah, jeez, they all suck. Yeah. They had Doom on the Nintendo 64. It wasn't very good at all, you know? I didn't really like it.
Did it fix the graphics? Get blocky?
They were better than the computer version, though. They were way better.
It is better than the computer version.
Yeah, the computer version of Doom was pretty crappy. But I still have a blast playing even regular Doom with that Legacy Doom or Doom, what is it called?
Ultimate Doom?
No. Hold on, I got it right here. I can't remember what it's called. The New Doom or some crap like that. What's it called? Kicks? Doomsday. Oh. It is awesome because it takes a lot of the... It uses all those old games, slaps new graphics on them. But you know what? You know what made me just made me realize, just firing that up, I remember, okay, Doom 1 and 2 came out. People were getting pretty tired of Doom. I mean, it was still just the king, and you got so many different WAD files, so many different maps and shit that just made it endless entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You can make your own, it was a blast. But what one like a huge milestone for me, something that was just blew my mind, was when we saw, what was that, Heretic? The one where all of a sudden you were not some guy with supercharged guns anymore. You had a staff that you shot little magic balls out of and a fucking crossbow, and you had potions. You know, you had shit like that. It was just, that was cool to me. That was like advancement right there. Mm-hmm. Not something like Far Cry where you're just, what was the hell was the story? The guy, I mean, we fire it up and you're just in a boat, you float on this island, you've got guns with you and people are just shooting at you. Great.
That was the demo, but...
Yeah, but there's usually some setup there, you know?
Yeah.
There should be something there. Instead, we were just blowing people away right away. This wasn't supposed to be Serious Sam. The graphics were decent, but they did seem kind of like, and the game itself, they were just, it seemed like a little soft. Like they were a little smudged, though. Did you pick up on that? It didn't seem like they were not sharp and clear graphics at all for some reason. I didn't think. And then on the menus, it was horrible.
Yeah, the menus were bad.
They were thrash. It was like I had mega anti-aliasing on or something. It was crazy, but I didn't. I don't know what the hell the deal with that was, but the controls weren't tight either. I couldn't change the ones I wanted to in the demo anyway.
Yeah, it seemed like the aiming was just like all over the place.
Soft. It was air floaty.
Yeah.
Like he would just move and he's all like kind of take him a while to stop and he would kind of almost come
like
back.
He was
to where,
drunk.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. I couldn't handle it. I didn't play past like that first level. There was nothing impressive there at all. Nothing at all. You can't tell where you're getting shot from. You know, it sucked. Most guns have awesome, their games have awesome like muzzle flashes and shit and you see bullets streaking by. I remember hearing bullets streaking by, but it was hard to tell where they were coming from.
Mm-hmm. That's why you need a surround sound.
You know, I've got like a 5-speaker setup here, dude.
Well, that's not really a surround sound setup, though.
Yeah, it is. Don't you see these speakers right here behind you?
No.
There's a raft. The best you can do is put the back ones as far away as you can, and you can tell. You can definitely tell.
Oh, I can tell in my house.
Yeah, okay, but I'd have cables running like diagonally through the room to get in that
far.
Hey,
talk about first-person shooters. What were you saying about Frag Ops?
Yes, we were getting to that. Frag Ops made the finalists in the Make Something Unreal contest.
Woohoo!
I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh,
that
Squirrel?
Is fucking cool. That is fucking cool.
Squirrel Zero? Is that
they got, he's one of the team members. They've got, well, yeah. They've got a lot of dudes working on that, so, I mean, you know, this is not one guy. I mean, this is, everybody deserves major props. I really, really hope they win this. I mean, that would be so cool. Their game is awesome. I haven't had a chance to try the latest patch, though, and I wanted to all day, but somebody pulled me out of the rest of the gaming world on IRC. Remember, you gotta get back in here. We need you in the party. Okay, all right. I'll break down, twist my arm now, so I didn't get to play the new patch for Frag Ops. But I did notice, you know, today, I don't even know what day this was, but I noticed today that they were, they had made it into the finals, which is awesome. That's frag-ops.com.
I don't believe that game so long.
For
since
Unreal
we
Tournament,
start playing Final Fantasy.
For Unreal Tournament 2003, I really hope they make it work for 2004, just because a lot of people are going to have that and not have 2003, I think, because they heard so much bad shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard 2004 was a lot better.
I'd imagine it's just a few tweaks here and there.
I hope so. Plus, that should allow them to do a lot more, I think, with some of the vehicles and some of the gameplay styles. That would be really neat to see what happens. I'm sure it's got a ton of work and they're going to be pissed. But, you know, who knows? They might do it or not. But I really wish those guys well. What else did we see here? Warlords Battle Cry 3.
Oh, man.
This blew my mind. Go ahead. Rip into this one.
Well, I never played any of the others. So, but the graphics looked like they were from, like, 94. I mean, this game looked terrible. There was just no effort put into the graphics whatsoever. The people had like two sayings apiece that they said over and over and over again.
Yeah, I have to disagree with that. No, I watch a little bit. I love the Warlord 1 and the 2.
But they were new then, see? We didn't see them before. When Warlords 1 came out, we played the hell out of that game.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was awesome. We've never seen a game quite like that, where you get to keep your guy. You have like a hero. It's like they tried to take... I don't think they took it from him, but it was like, okay, think of Warcraft 3 where you get like one dude that's fat, like a hero guy, right? But you could gain levels and stuff. Just,
oh, yeah,
you know,
fat,
you could put points onto your stats, which is a really cool thing, and you can keep your guy. So you got like a 25th level dude, he's your leader still. 50 rounds from now, you're still using your same badass guy you made, you know, that you built up. That was awesome at the time.
Second one was pretty good. Got improvement on the graphics.
Yeah, yeah. Which was
and
a,
got
was a big improvement.
New races. And a new technology.
All kinds of new crap, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, little toys and weapons.
So this one I saw you play, basically it's like...
It's the same fucking game.
With the second one. So it should be an expansion pack.
Yeah, I can... I played this game when it was Warlords 2 Battlecraft 2. I mean, it was the exact... the graphics, I swear to God.
I
swear to God.
Before,
so. No. It's like...
No,
I know. He's just exaggerating. I know. But I swear to God, I couldn't even tell you I know better, but the graphics were, I swear to God, ripped straight out of the second one. They were that bad. And that little, remember that little black shrine? Well, that little black shrine thing you could walk up to and the guy would give you a mission or whatever? I destroyed it. I forgot what it does. I was trying to remember the controls. But remember that little shrine? There's all this weird,
all
this weird shit on the map.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw that, it clicked right in my head. I went, holy crap, I've seen this before. I mean, it was exact. I could swear to God it was exactly like it. It is the same friggin' game. Sure, they got, you know, different items and races and a few extra new things they added, but why wasn't this an expansion 2 years ago when Battle Cry 2 was, you know, a few months old or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was nothing like it should have been. How can they release a game like this when we've got something like Warcraft 3 that's out there?
Yeah, there was no comparison.
None. I cannot believe that this game sucks that bad. It wasn't even that much fun. You know, I mean, I had a good time just ripping up the computer, just because it's been a while since I've done that. You know, but it was the exact same game I played before. Now, I imagine if you loved the second one, which we did, and you're still playing the second one, which we're not, you might as well just go get this one. You know?
Not for $50.
Not for $50, no. No.
More like $19.99.
Yeah, $20, yeah, I would have to. But there's fans of the game that don't care. You know what I mean? Like, if they were to release, like, a Heroes 5 or something right now that looked just like Heroes 3 but had new shit, I'd have to pay them $1 million. I don't care. I would want to play that game. You know, so I mean, if you're just like the biggest, sickest fan of this, you might as well just go buy it. But I urge you to try the demo because I don't think you're going to be too impressed. But if you're still playing it every single day with your buddies, that would be cool to have anyway. But I swear to God, it was like the same game. I couldn't believe it. I really thought I screwed up.
Yeah, but if you're a big fan, you love, well, the second one, why shell out the money for the third one if it's the same?
It's because you want the new crap. You know what I mean? Like, just you wouldn't want to pay for an expansion.
New items and new units.
Whoever released that, they've always been kind of screwed up like that, though. Because I remember the first one, there was some kind of a problem, too. We waited for months for a patch. And then something else happened. Like, once they fixed whatever ghetto problems they were having, which were probably easily fixable in the first place, then there was, like, a crash bug on Windows XP or something else. Something that they didn't directly have an effect on, but they needed to fix right away. And they didn't for fucking months again. And I remember being so pissed off at those guys. I remember even going to their forums and just reading people just tearing into them. Just fucking patch it already. And there was beta patches. Try this, it might work. Kind of shit. It's just like, no, no, no. You guys have to take it up a notch and do some fucking quality assurance. Test your shit. Make it fucking work on, you know, today's hardware and today's games. It wasn't like it was an old game. It was just like Windows XP, or whatever it was. I'm pretty sure it was Windows XP was the problem. Happened to come out just after this game came out. A lot of people were already using it. And it didn't work. And people were just like, well, fuck, I can't play this game, and I'm dying to play it. I'm not going back to 98, though. Jesus Christ, you know. I'd have cut my left toe off and foot off and play that shit again. You know, use that shit. But, I don't know, it just seemed like they were always kind of slackers, and this was really a disappointment. Really, really disappointed in that. I'm going to have to urge you to stay away. This is, at best, a $20 game. At best. This was $20, like, 3 years ago. You know? Yeah, that sucked. We did have this was weird. I got an email. I don't remember what the guy's name was. I think chick or whatever. Patrice, I think it said. I'm not looking at the email. I could honestly not tell you if this was spam or a directed fucking email to me. And the only reason I read it was because the subject line was games. It was a capital G, and then no punctuation. Just capital G and then games, right? And there was no weird spaces, no funky anything, so it looked like somebody had actually typed it. It had a full name, first and last name there. It looked like real fucking email. And the way I check my emails, I don't actually just open all this random crap. You can go to like a properties kind of thing and view like the code of the email, and I scan for like real text. A lot of time you can tell the spam just because you see nothing but markup in there, nothing but HTML throughout the email, and I don't bother opening it. I couldn't tell. So I had to open it up. And it's simply like one line that said like, visit, or something like, I wanted to point out this website to you. It wasn't like, come check out our website. You know, so it was like, God damn it, am I reading spam here and actually considering clicking on it? Or am I getting a directed email here? I still couldn't tell you. I have no idea. But I went to the site called Phelios, phelios.com. And they've got a bunch of little, I should probably pull the page up, I think, so we can, because I didn't write down all the names of the game. Well, fuck it. There was a couple different games there. A bunch of little, I say little because they're like $20. You can order them right there on the site. And they're not your hardcore crazy game of today. They're like the old school 2D games that you would see like on Windows 95.
Puzzle games.
Lots of puzzle games.
Action games.
Yeah, some queer is the word, like strange. You know, like
right.
You had this one which I thought was pretty enjoyable, Helix, where you had this funky looking helicopter thing with like jets on it that could beam up aliens, which was kind of neat. I enjoyed floating around this little world, you know, and it had the, you know, it's got like you could use a controller, but there was like no real options for setting it. I couldn't find a way to set my control, so I was screwed using the controller I had because the button's layout, you know, the button layout wasn't what they had it predefined as, and there was absolutely no way to play it. But so I ended up using a keyboard, and you had like little power-ups that you can get, make your ship go faster, and you get like a little shield, this little helicopter thing.
Torpedoes.
Yeah. I mean, you had all kinds of nifty little weapons and shit like that. This is some game that runs in Windows, full screen or in a window, and it was, you know, completely 2D, nice, colorful graphics. I thought the graphics were pretty cool. What was that? Jazz Jackrabbit. Totally looked like that to me for some reason. Totally looked graphics, you know, like that kind of style, like the painted 2D bright colors, real sharp. You know, I thought it was really good. Sound was it was all right, whatever. I wasn't really listening to it. Even the sound effects.
A lot of bleeps.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of that crap. But it was still enjoyable. I still had a lot. I mean, I went through the whole demo. I mean, and just sitting there, just, you know, beaming up these aliens I had to rescue, you know, to open the gate to go to the next level. For $20, and there's 100 levels, this is the kind of thing that I would totally pick up. You know, you could take it to work. You could just get so good at something like this playing at work that it wouldn't take 8 minutes for your computer to kick you back to Windows, like when you're trying to exit, you know, some of today's games. You know, Windows has a cow when you're trying to exit a lot of these games because it just sucks up every ounce of your resources. This is something you could just, like, boom, pop away, you know, like, no big deal, help a customer. Yeah, I'm not playing games at work, you know, but thoroughly enjoyable still.
You're right.
We played another one called, we didn't know what it was, but the picture looked just intriguing, so we had to check it out. Bongo Boogle? Boogie. Bongo, I can't read that from here. Bongo Boogie. And this was like, what the hell?
Breakout.
Breakout. Totally like that. You know, you're this little monkey, and you bounce this little coconut up from the sky, and you're breaking boxes. You know, so, I mean, it was nothing ingenious there, you know. But it was still a blast to play. And it was cutesy, too. You know, there was like these little monkeys crawling around and doing funny shit. And, you know,
one of them's pulling on a rope that the other one's connected to.
Yeah, you didn't actually move the guy that moved the thing to bounce the coconut back out. You were standing on a rope that, like, the one guy moved. It was cute. It was fun, though. You know what I mean? That never gets old, that kind of game right there. You can just play. But for $20, or you could hop on a lot of websites and play it for free.
Yeah, you know, it's a Java game.
Exactly. You know, I mean, sure, it may not have the cute monkeys, but it's the same game.
Or on your phone.
You know, shit, yeah. You know?
Breakout's huge on that sort of thing.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see the new games on my new phone. I haven't checked them out yet. But I just set it up yesterday. I mean, I haven't charged the damn thing yet. But, so something like that. But there was a lot of games at this site. There was all kinds of little games like that. And they had full, you know, well, not, I mean, not full, but they had demos there. You know, you could play, like, 4 or 5 levels out of that Helix one that we played. And I actually didn't get that far in that Arkano or Breakout one. But I thought it was kind of neat because this wasn't a huge company releasing some game. You know, this was like, it seemed kind of small and very well done, though, which is why I really liked it. It seemed very professional. It seemed very well done. It seemed like attention was paid to detail, which I really, really liked. And it seems like it's just some small company from what I can tell, you know, just maybe even one or two people sitting around making games, you know, they think are fun and in a nice artistic manner. I really have to respect that, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm probably wrong, and it's probably like a subsidiary of fucking Microsoft or something. You know, and they got like 5 guys working night and day to slap some graphics on this, but, you know, I don't think so. It didn't strike me like that at all. It seemed really cool. It was Phelios.com, Phelios. Definitely have to recommend going to check that out. And the other big news for the day, what the hell's that movie? That Matrix one with 3. The green shit and the bullet time that fucked us all up. Oh, Matrix. That's Matrix. Right. What the hell is that called? Not Reloaded.
Revolutions. I bet they have a special package coming.
Oh, you know they're going to have a 3-pack of them all, make everybody buy them all
again. Yeah, but not today.
Fucking t-shirt. No, it won't be today.
I was arguing, well, thinks he's going to go out today, though. And go out today and buy the 3-pack.
Not today.
No.
It's gonna
like
be
a month.
It's going to be months, probably, because they want to sell that third one.
That's
to people.
That's why I want to go check it out, though. They're going to sell that single one.
We're not the ones who had the problem pulling themselves away from Final Fantasy today. Somebody had a problem, and it wasn't us. And you're the only one who wanted to go anywhere.
Get off of my nuts.
All right? You know, you have a car, you know, or a truck. You don't need us to drive you anywhere or babysit. You know, we could have gone at any minute. Close now, though. Holy shit, it's 4:15 in the morning.
You are. Jesus Christ.
Damn, what the hell? It was like 1:30 a minute ago. Is my clock not set? Hold on, where's my watch? No, this one's set. 4:17.
Good God.
What the fuck? That sucks ass. Damn it. Oh, I bet those guys are so mad at us. Well, not you. What? Eh. Hey, we were supposed to do the BCM thing. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning now. What the hell? Which means it's like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. Well, we better end it. Anyway, Matrix came out today. On DVD.
Yesterday
now, yeah. And nobody's going to hear this for 2 or 3 days. So it was Tuesday, Matrix Revolutions came out on DVD. Did anybody watch this?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
You didn't see it?
I didn't see it either because I didn't care. I fell asleep in the second one. I did go back and watch it again, but it wasn't that great.
The third one was a lot better than the second one.
Yeah?
Well, it's a trilogy. That how often does that happen? The second one sucks.
Yeah.
The first one's great, the second one sucks, and the third one picks it up again.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But it doesn't have to be like that. The first one was just fantastic. Blew me away. Why couldn't they keep up with that? It doesn't seem like it was all based on action and blowing shit up and stuff. You know, and unfortunately, we knew, because they didn't the what are their names, Wachowski brothers or whatever, didn't they say that that's what they were going for? Didn't they say that at some point, like, this is a comic book, this is blowing shit up and crazy bullshit? Didn't they say that? So, I mean, you had to expect it, because they said this is what this is. But when they released a movie like the first one, like The Matrix, it wasn't like that. And they got people hooked because of the crazy, in-depth, you know, deep shit that they got you thinking about, and then they just turned it into, like, an action flick. Kind of just dropped it for me.
Was the second one the part with the dude and with the white beard, or is that the third one?
Yeah. The guy, whatever his name is.
Yeah, the guy who made the Matrix. The head dude.
Yeah, the archaeologist or whatever. What is his name?
The first time I saw that, I was sitting there.
The architect.
I know he's saying something.
Yeah. I'm not quite following. I mean, I listened to it, you know.
Well, the second time I heard it, I paid better attention to it. I got more of it. Because they have a pretty big vocabulary, but that crap.
It was, I don't remember what he said.
The problem was that whole speech was big words for the sake of big words. When I listened to it the second time.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, he's not really saying it. He's not. He's just saying normal stuff, but he's using huge words to do it.
It seemed to me in the second one, I felt like they tried to tack on this love story stuff and then let us have their action flick they wanted and then tacked on the deep thought stuff. I really came out of it feeling like that. And I had no interest in all at the third one. I just don't care. Like, in the second one, they're fighting those two dudes. The phantom, crazy, pasty, white, fucking albino dudes, whatever. Really cool guys. I thought, like, the design of those guys was just fat. But when they fought them, it wasn't like there was any story or anything. It was just, all of a sudden, here they are fighting these two burly guys. You know, they didn't give them proper setup for something that was supposed to be so big in the movie that took up, like, a 20-minute fight. You didn't know, like, why these guys were so important. It was just, like, two dudes they were just fighting. They just happened to be ass kickers. And I just...
Well, they're bodyguards, so...
But they could have given, like, a lot more story. Like the minute they introduced them, at the next scene, they're fighting it seemed like.
Mm.
You know, it just didn't... But it wasn't long enough to make you fear these guys, make you care about them at all, you know, or make you even have an interest in this, or maybe even fear them, because you have no idea. I don't know. I mean, elemental surprise. Well, that's great, you know. Missed me. Fuck, I wanted to hear about how fat these guys were, not just see all this crazy shit and then watch them die. You know, or we'll lose the fight right at the end. I don't know. I wasn't too happy with the second one, so I didn't go watch the third one. I was kind of hoping Wolf would buy it today so we can go watch it, or so I could watch it, but that didn't happen. Maybe I'll be able to talk about it, you know, next week we can bring it up, maybe, depending on if anybody gets it, but I don't know.
I'm gonna get it.
Yeah?
I gotta complete the trilogy.
Yeah. I might, I don't know, if the third one's that fat, I'm sure I see myself buying the fat 3-disc box set deal or whatever. I see myself doing that, because I don't even have the first one anymore. I was so pissed at the second one.
You threw out the third one?
No, I sold it. Just because I was mad, and I hate those covers. I hate that cardboard shit. I want the plastic keep.
Yeah, when it first came out, it was pretty cheesy.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that was episode 40. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
How in the fuck is it 4:20 in the morning?
I have no idea. 4:20! Woo!